Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, it's Rick Hale. Welcome to another Thursday night edition of Paranormal Underground Radio, your favorite creamy paranormal deliciousness on the internet. Joining me as always is Karen Frazier. How you doing, Karen?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. So we got a pretty decent show going for us tonight, right?
We are talking Waverly tonight. You know, Cheryl likes being on the show so much that tonight she made herself a guest.
Mm. Hey, I heard that.
She likes hearing herself talk.
That's right.
Well, we know our own.
That's right. We don't just have Cheryl. Cheryl and Chad went to Waverly here last weekend. Was it just last weekend, Cheryl?
It was the we actually investigated on the 29th of August. So yeah, just here recently.
Yeah, they went to Waverly with a group of people from Paranormal Underground, and we have a few of them here to talk with us. So we'll be bringing them on in a few minutes, and looking forward to it. We have some EVPs. Andy got a picture, and Andy, I know you're in the chat room, and you can hear me. So if you want, why don't you go ahead and, in the chat room, paste the link to where your picture is so that people can take a look at that before we have you start talking, because it's a pretty interesting picture, and it makes you think, if nothing else.
Is it a full-bodied apparition, or is it like a mystery-type thing?
Oh, you
haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen it.
You need to go look at it, too, then. It could be a nurse.
Could be a nurse. Oh, yeah. You know what? I did see it. That's right. I apologize. I did see it.
No worries. I seem to have a real frog in my throat tonight. So if the one that sounds like Froggy, that would be me. I'm going to apologize for that in advance. So, Rick, you had an experience at the Dairy Queen. This sounds like a line from Bill and Ted. What was it? Strange things are afoot.
Strange things are afoot at their Circle K. No, it's, you know, I do have mediumistic abilities, and it's not really something that I'm like terribly comfortable with. But, you know, I've had it all my life, and I, you know, for whatever reason, it went away there for a while and got turned back on fairly recently. And over this last weekend, my wife and I, we were doing some shopping, and we were down in Lake Zurich, and we stopped and got an ice cream cone at the Dairy Queen. And the second I walked in through the door, it was like walking into a wall of negative energy. I mean, I've been around tons of negative energy before. I mean, you know, my family alone. But this one was definitely of a spiritual nature. And the gentleman who served me the ice cream, I could tell just by, you know, being in his immediate presence that whatever this negative energy was not associated with the building, but was definitely associated with him.
Really?
And which is actually kind of a common occurrence, especially for people who have, you know, been involved in the occult or have committed some kind of, you know, serious crime against their fellow man. Oh, definitely. But, you know, the second that I walked out, you know, cones in hand, it all completely went away. So, you know, I mean, definitely that poor old guy was oppressed by something, and I just happened to feel it. And whatever it was, knew I was there and did not like me being there at all.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. So what about you, Karen? What do you got going on this week? Anything interesting?
You know, I'm headed out tomorrow to go to the Yakima Ghost Conference in Yakima, Washington. I'm going to be speaking about my book, Avalanche of Spirits, and about the haunted site of Wellington. So I'm looking forward to that, because it's like the first weekend we've gotten away from the kids in I don't even know how long.
Yeah.
So
I have about 3 months until I learn how that is. You know, wanting to get away
just
from the kids.
Is it really 3 months? That's all that's left?
That's all that's left. I mean, the last 6 months, actually more like two and a half months, but the last, you know, 6 months or whatever has gone by so quick. And for the first time last week, I felt the little dude kick.
Oh,
and,
how cool is that?
Oh, it was amazing. And today we were sitting on the couch, and my wife had her cell phone sitting on her belly. And you could actually see the cell phone go up and then down.
Yep. Yeah, you got a little soccer player in there. That's what Tanner used to do, too. He was a kicker. Oh, my God. He'd, like, kick me in the ribs. And yeah, it is cool. But, you know, I have to tell you, with the last, if you think the last 6 months has gone by quickly, wait for the next 18 years. My son started high school this week.
Mm-hmm.
He is a high school freshman, and I don't even know how that happened. I mean, you know, I sort of have the basics of it, how he came into being and that he grew up and stuff. But boy, did it go by fast. So just wait. You think 6 months is gone. It's going to be just the blink of an eye.
Yep.
So I woke up this morning at about 2:00 in the morning, and I've been up since then. And so I was having a dream when I woke up, and I was dreaming about this really creepy house, and it was owned by Selma Hayek.
Selma Hayek. Oh, boy.
Yeah, but it had all this really weird poltergeist activity in there. And for some reason, I couldn't remember what to do about poltergeist activity, like in somebody's house. So I had to call Lloyd Auerbach. That was my dream. I'm never eating tacos right before I go to bed again.
You know, I am sending an email to Lloyd the second we get off the show and tell him that Karen is dreaming about you.
Ooh, okay. Okay, you do that. So, hey, Cheryl, you want to turn on your mic for a sec? I know you're going to be a guest in a little bit, but, you know.
Do I get to talk about being sick again?
No, I think I want you to talk about, we have a magazine coming out here in a day or two, and I wanted to know what's in it.
Oh, yeah, we have a lot of good stuff. It's going to go online tomorrow or the next day. It's our September issue of Paranormal Underground magazine, available at paranormalunderground.net. And we are going to be featuring Bill Murphy from Fact or Faked Paranormal Files, who we had on our radio show not too long ago. And you'll be able to learn a little bit more about him and his investigation on and off the show in the article. And we're also going to have a ton of cool paranormal articles, as we usually do. One is from Sean B., who's going to talk about The Fourth Kind, which was a recent movie, and how close it matches up to some of the real-life disappearances in Nome, Alaska. And, of course...
So that part is true, then?
There were disappearances... in the area, I think it was about 24 from the mid-1960s through present time, but nowhere near the number I think they quoted in the movie. I think they might have even said thousands, but there were some strange disappearances. Some were related to UFOs, aliens, other types of phenomena, and so it's really interesting.
Oh, sorry. Every time anybody says that, I think phenomena. That. Sorry.
But if you know Sean B., and we've talked to him here on the radio too, and he's written a few articles for us, he definitely takes an interesting spin on things and really tracks down a lot of facts that really I find hard to find myself. So. It's going to be a good one. And then, of course, we have our very own Rick Hales article for Haunted Sites on the weirdness of Williamsburg Hill.
No, you know that's going to suck.
In Illinois. It doesn't. It doesn't suck. It's very good.
He probably had to leave in the middle of the article for a lightning storm or something.
No, I will tell you. I will vouch for this. It's full of creamy paranormal goodness.
Yes.
Did I deliver that line okay? Okay, good.
It with the spoon.
And then just to mention a few others, we're going to talk about the haunted history of Quebec City in Canada. Hmm. We're going to talk about vampires in Rhode Island. We're going to talk about the...
Real vampires or like goth kids?
No, real vampires.
Do they sparkle?
They don't sparkle, no. They're not very sparkly.
Do they wash their hair?
They might wash their hair, I'm not sure. But we're also going to talk about Paul B. We have Sean B. and Paul B. I just realized that. Is going to talk about the Dulce, New Mexico underground alien base, which is very interesting.
Underground to read. Aliens.
Yeah. And then Ryan Tackett. From
as if
Picked
I didn't have enough to
Texas.
Worry about in outhouses with bats, now I have to worry about underground aliens popping up from the outhouse.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to worry about a lot of things, Karen.
That just makes it a lot easier for the anal probe. Had to get it in there. Booyah.
But he's here all week, folks. Try the meal.
I don't think there's any mention of anal probes in the article. I'm sorry, Rick.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. You're trying very hard to get through. This is what we're going to do to all of our guests tonight. Every time anybody speaks, Rick and I are going to try and say something witty. Fair warning.
That's fine. But as I was saying, Ryan...
She didn't sound like that was very fine.
Did I go, that's fine?
Fine. Whatever.
Fine, then. Be that what way.
Ryan
Tackett, Ryan,
please proceed.
Ryan, okay, Ryan from Picked in Texas, Paranormal Investigators of Central Texas. He wrote on the investigation, well, it was kind of a personal investigation he did at the cemetery, the First Street Cemetery of Waco, Texas. It's very interesting. He had some cool personal experiences and evidence collected. And then we have Andy, who wrote... a review on the equipment from Creepy Hollow. It's an infrared illuminator. And so he talks about basically what he liked about this piece of equipment. So it seems pretty impressive. And we have a few other things, like a review from Karen on the movie Inception. So check it out. Check it out. It's going to be a good issue.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, and that'll be up in the next couple of days.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a little delayed this month with the trip to Waverly, I think. So,
I think
that's good.
Yep.
But I'm sure it was worth it, right?
That's right.
Definitely.
So, I think we might be boring Chad because he just... He just sent us all a private message that I'm now going to make unprivate.
Well,
and he says Waverly soon. So apparently that is our STFU, Rick. And let's bring on our guests.
All right. Tonight.
Hey, guys, turn on your mics. Go for it, Rick.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Tonight on our show, you know, like I said, we have tons of creamy paranormal goodness because we're going to be talking Waverly Hills Sanatorium, which is, in my personal opinion, as a lifelong paranormal researcher, the most haunted location in the world. Forget about moldy old castles in England. Tuberculosis hospitals are where it's at. So tonight we have...
Holla! Holla!
So tonight... We have Andy Selfridge, Eric, and Scott Rawls from the Oklahoma City Ghost Club, as well as Scott and Tracy from the East Tennessee Paranormal, and Chad and Cheryl, who accompanied them on their journey to the most haunted hole in the world. So how you doing, everybody?
Good.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Excellent.
Good. Good.
So what do you guys got for us tonight?
Okay, so that's it. We're done. Go!
Go!
Radio show, go! Okay, this is no good.
I'm gonna start first.
This is called Dead Air. Let's start with Tracy.
Okay.
Okay, so had you been to Waverly before?
Yes, I went about 4 years ago.
And has it evolved or changed, or was it really cool both times, or do you think it's a bunch of hooey?
Well, it was really cool both times, but the first time I was there, they hadn't done so much to actually renovate. There was a lot less renovation done the first time I was there. Mm-hmm. And the activity was a little bit more for me last time than it was this time, but we still had a good experience and caught some good stuff, so I can't complain.
Cool. So tell us about some of your experiences there this time, then.
This time, we had experiences in the lobby. Chad was with us one time when our lights, I had a motion sensor lights, and they just came on by themselves when we were in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And it takes motion or something moving in front of it to set it off. And there was only three of us in the room at the time. So, and we heard a disembodied voice up on the fourth floor that I sent the EVP in, and I hope we can hear it later on. But Scott says right after it, says, "Did you hear that?" And it was a moan, like a man or woman moaning, like they were in pain. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. It was a cool night.
Is that the same one that Andy got? That but like from a different angle, because Andy's also has one of you saying, "Did you hear that?"
Well,
yeah, that one was recorded in the morgue. So
that was in the morgue. Okay, this was up on the fourth floor.
Well, then you would have had to shout, "Did you hear that?" Really, really loudly.
Yes, really loud.
That's from the pocket down at the end of the hall.
I'm sorry, Chad, I didn't catch it.
Was that when we were talking down at the end of the hall?
No, it was a different time.
Oh, go ahead. Oh,
okay.
I actually got four while we were standing there talking, but I didn't send them in because I have to clear them up.
You didn't send them in?
No, because I can't pick out the words yet.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. I think Scott might be a ghost. Because
yeah, definitely getting some weird thing going on there. Echo.
Weird. Echoey feedback is awesome. You sound kind of spooky and ghostly. Cheryl just mentioned, because as I say, we talk about everything behind the scenes as we do the radio show. And Cheryl was mentioning, Tracy, that you had a really interesting experience your very first time at Waverly. So what was that?
My very first time at Waverly, it was, we did the overnight where we were leaving at 8 a.m. in the morning. And we were walking down the hallway on the first floor, and there was a little wall that juts out. And a man just materialized. He was a grayish color, and I could see through him. And as soon as we made eye contact, he vanished. And that was my first full-bodied apparition I'd ever seen. So it stuck with me. And of course, no video camera at the time, no camera in my hand. So, but it's just something that's always stuck with me.
So, did you get the sense that this was like this was an intelligent spirit? You know, he acknowledged you and then gone.
Yeah, like I said, as soon as we made eye contact with each other, he was gone just as fast as he appeared. So.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting. That's really interesting. Those full body apparitions are a little startling, aren't they?
Yes, it was. It was. It actually did startle me, and like I told Chad and them, the whole left hand side of my body went cold because he was on my left hand side. So
You know, that's funny because when I had my full body apparition experience, not when I was one, but when I saw one, that's the same thing. I got like instantly just freezing cold, and I just thought it was like surprise, you know, perhaps mild panic.
Yeah,
I think it was apparition.
What's that?
I think it was the energy from the apparition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that could definitely be it. Huh, very cool.
Trying to make contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else happened? Well, for you?
The first time? No. It was just...
No, I mean this time.
Oh, this time? Well, I hadn't got through all my evidence yet either, but...
Yeah.
We did have that experience in the lobby with the lights came on, and you could actually feel and hear something in the room with us. Chad was in there when we were there.
Yeah.
But we were totally alone, and we were at the end of a big hallway, and we were the only ones on that floor at the time. So,
yeah,
it was it was interesting.
So what about the – because I know we did some ovulus sessions.
Yes.
And it seemed like it kept saying the same things no matter where we went. It kept saying the same things over and over.
Right. It kept saying upstairs.
Yeah.
Everett, which the Everett's not in its vocabulary. It kept calling Scott a Jew. It and that's a personal joke. Then it said my hometown, which is Greenville, and that's not in the ovulus vocabulary. It said my name. It said welder, and I'm a welder. But when we first cut it on the fourth floor, it went through all these names of like, it's a doctor, nurse, sick, died, and then it started naming all kinds of people's names that are not in the vocabulary, and I hadn't gone through all that audio yet. So,
interesting. Now, have you had similar results when you've used the ovulus before?
This was my first time using the ovulus on an investigation. So,
Oh, wow.
We used it this past weekend, and we didn't get the same results. We got different results with different words, but never anything like we had at Waverly. So
with something like that, do you think it actually is picking up the energy and getting word hits, or do you put that beyond the realm of coincidence?
Well, I would say it was coincidence if it didn't say Greenville.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Name, you know, Greenville is not a word that most people would think of, but that's my hometown. And so it said Greenville and said my name and said welder, which all three fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, plus it was saying other people's names, which.
Yeah.
So, Cheryl, do you have the EVPs from.
I have a few, traces. Yeah. I know everybody, well, not everybody, but some of us still are going through the evidence, but we have a few EVPs we could play, and I have a few from Tracy that we could play right now.
Let's do the Tracy EVPs.
Yeah, I think what
I
we should
EVPs.
Do...
I do, too.
Some of these are hard to hear, so if the listeners want to put on headsets if they don't have them on, or turn up the volume a little bit. Some of them are just really subtle. I could hear them with my headsets like pressed against my ears, but there's
I didn't have a lot of time to cut. I did that today after work because I was like, I've got to send something in for the show.
Thank you.
Well,
what I can do is just play them a couple times, and then Trace, if you want to tell us about them after the fact, that would be great.
Okay,
so this first, a lot of these clips are really quick. I think this first one is just a few seconds. So I'm going to turn up the master volume, so maybe that could help with the audio, and then we can discuss or replay or go on to the next one, whatever you guys want to do. So here's the first one. Oh no, it's not going to start this again, is it?
Oh no!
It kicked it out of the out of the system and didn't want to play it. Let me try it again over here. I'm on this other deck and see if it'll work. Okay, let's do this again. Well, that's not good. Okay,
because it's a WAV file, or maybe you need to turn on MP3s.
So here's what I think, Tracy. I think that you should do a reenactment of the EVP.
Yes.
Go.
Okay, which one do you want to hear first?
Yeah, they're WAV files.
Do you want to go ahead, Cheryl, and maybe go to break, and you can see if you can get that working, well, and then we can have we come back or what?
Unfortunately, Chad just told me they're WAV files, and he doesn't think we can play
you
them.
Can
well, so
if you send them,
that's kind of an issue.
You should be able to convert them. Let's go ahead and go to break. How about that? And that way you can convert them, and when we come back, we can do the EVPs.
We could definitely try and do that. Okay. Let's do
all
that.
Right.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute, guys.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Knight Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
We'll be right back. expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And we're back.
Hello, Karen. Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com.
I guess we're not back.
Sorry, guys. That was my fault.
We thought it wasn't playing, so we just started talking.
It helps to turn the volume up.
You know what? I've been blaming myself this whole time because I mocked the box on our second show, and now it actually turns out it's Cheryl's fault.
But I didn't mock the box. Somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
So we have those EVPs that they're being converted by Andy as we speak. So in the meantime, I think that we were going to go ahead and have Scott talk about his experiences. Now, Scott, had you been to Waverly before?
No, that was my first time.
Okay, so tell us what you got.
I got several pictures that I know everybody talks about orbs, but I got some pictures that the orb looked like it was probably about 5 feet across in a doorway, wow. Which, you know, that I don't see how dust could be that big.
You've never been under my bed.
And I got a lot of EVPs. Just in the 2 hours that I've gone through and worked with, I had over 23. Of course, I only sent one because that was my best one. The other ones have a lot of just low, weird voices. The whole place was really cool. I never really got nervous or anything, but there were several times on the fourth floor and the first floor where I did not feel comfortable at all. And that's where we got some of our EVPs and stuff from, and some of our ovulus, that I just felt that there was something in there that either didn't want us in there or was not comfortable with us or whatever. So, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, I can't wait to do it again.
Hey, Scott, let me ask you something about this orb that you got.
Yes.
Did it appear to give off its own light as if it had, energy all of its own in a center that pushed energy out? Or how did it look?
It did not appear to have a center of light. It mm-hmm. seemed to be pretty much the same color. It had almost like squiggly lines through it. Okay. And I took a picture immediately, because after I take a picture, I glance at it in the window, and when I see that, I automatically take another picture immediately, and mm-hmm. in the second picture, there's nothing there. I mean, it's completely clear as can be, so it's, you know, it's not a spot on my camera lens, so I don't know how to explain it.
When you say squiggly lines, do you mean like a circle with a heat wave in it, kind of?
Yeah, would be kind of like that, yeah.
I've actually seen that in a haunted location before. What do you think that is?
I have not. It could be anything from energy, from some sort of a spirit. It could be, you know, some sort of camera malfunction. It could be a big cloud of dust. I don't see how, but I mean, there's a million and one half explanations. But the fact that the picture after it has nothing makes me think that it was something more paranormal, because mm-hmm. otherwise it should still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, according to basic physics, and you know, the simplest shape for energy to take is a sphere or an orb. So,
correct.
You know, I personally believe in the orb thing, and I know it's a really highly controversial subject, but I definitely think that there's something to it, because I've seen some orbs that are phenomenal that are not just spherical shape, but amorphous and blobs and giving off their own light. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I agree, because with that one, it was just so big. I thought, mm-hmm. you know, because it took up almost the entire doorway, and I thought, well, there's something else with this.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, aside from so you got a few EVPs, you got the orb. Any kind of creepy? Just was it mostly feelings of creepiness and spots then?
Well, a lot of the times when I was in there, I felt that somebody was behind me. And that's when a lot of times I would turn around and take some of the pictures that I would get, you know, the little orbs and stuff. And like I said, the fourth floor was probably one of the places that I felt the most uncomfortable. And I felt that something was just following me around everywhere I went. And mm-hmm. it's almost like I could pick up on its energy a little bit, and it made me a little bit nervous, especially because they kept talking about the creeper, and I really wanted to see the creeper, but I didn't want to see the creeper.
Hey, so is the creeper something from Waverly? Because what I know of creeper is from Scooby-Doo.
I thought the same thing whenever they said
I think it has something to do with underwear, too, but I could be wrong. Proceed, Scott.
Go on.
Apparently, the creeper is an old man that walks and crawls on his hands and knees and tops of his feet, and he apparently likes to, according to people that have seen him, he likes to sneak up behind people, then they hear him, they turn around, and there's a man crawling behind them, and I just have this issue with people crawling around me that would kind of bother me a little bit. So I wanted to see him for proof, but then at the same time I didn't want to see him because it would bother me probably a little bit.
Let me ask you this, though, Scott. Do you think that any of this you could, you know, chalk up to expectation? You know, you're going obviously to a place that is haunted. There's no doubt right. about it. I mean, do you think that you could get yourself psychologically so worked up that it's like, oh my God, I'm feeling things that aren't really even there?
Yes, I think that. Yeah, my expectations actually were pretty low. I hate to say that against Waverly, but I really don't go expecting a lot. I want to see and hear things, but I don't go, you know, for that purpose. I think there are times, you know, when I am in the place that I'm saying, did I hear that right? Is that what I'm hearing? And then after I, you know, listen back to or whatever, I'm like, okay, that was in my head, or that was just the sound of, you know, the natural nature around the place that, you know, and it is your head, you know, making that. So,
right. Right.
I have a very important question.
Yes.
How many bats were there?
How many bats were there? Yeah. I know there were, I think we saw three or four. There was one that flew by my head and I didn't even know it. And Tracy had to tell me. Apparently there's a room that we're not allowed to go into that apparently has a big bat population. But there's an area that they don't allow people to go into anymore.
So that'll be bats. when it becomes the hotel, that bat room will be like the special room that everybody gets. So, well, you know, that bat that flew by your head, it probably bit you. Do you know that bats can bite you and you don't even feel it? Because their little teeth are so sharp.
I was not aware of that. That would explain the rabies, though. But
yeah, I'm bat phobic. So and were there also insects and spiders? I would imagine yes.
It was so dark. I don't really remember seeing many spiders or anything. I don't even remember seeing many insects at all, I don't believe. But I mean, it's so dark in there. I mean, you really can't see a lot except for the natural light that comes from inside. But I don't really remember seeing anything.
And how about weeds that attack you and scare the crap out of you? Did that happen anywhere when you were?
No.
Hey, I got a question about about turning this place into a hotel, and I just want to, you know, put this out there to everybody. Do you think it's a bad idea turning a place like, say, like Waverly Hills into a hotel?
Yes and no. Okay. I think the part that they've already renovating, which is the lower end, that I think it's only like three stories on the lower end there, I think what they're doing there, I would convert, if it was mine, I would convert that into a hotel or bed and breakfast or whatever for people to use that want to investigate and do stuff with Waverly. I think it's so interesting as is. I think preserving that bit of history that's left with it, even though it's mainly haunted or people say it's haunted and stuff, I think they should leave that, and I think they would profit more from it that way. Because once they turned it into a big hotel, it's just another big hotel in Louisville.
Yeah. Well, it's just it's going to be a the geeks flocking to that place is just going to be insane. Like, hey, let's go stay at Waverly. Maybe we'll see a ghost in the Abraham Lincoln suite or whatever. I personally don't feel that it's the best idea, especially if you're trying to maintain the integrity of a location that is haunted.
Yes, I agree. And I hope the owners decide upon that at some point, because I'm afraid they're going to run what little bit of history and for me, fun is left in it. Because when we were there, you know, when they were telling us about the hotel, it's like I told Tracy, I said, well, you know, this is kind of awful for me because, you know, unless we come back in the next year or so, this may be our last chance to do this because it'll be a hotel.
And so how great is it that you could do it then? You know,
Oh, yeah.
You got in under the wire. I would rather see it in its natural state than in its beautiful, renovated, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Agreed. You know, keep it kept up enough to where it doesn't fall down, but, you know, but leave it in its natural state.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So and, you know, go ahead. I was going to say we have EVPs when you guys are ready, I see. So
I was just going to say, any kind of renovation, especially with a place like that, if the spirits are intelligent, I mean, it could definitely, you know, piss them off and cause a lot more problems than, you know, it's actually worth having a hotel there.
Oh, yeah, I agree, because if there is some sort of intelligent spirits or anything there, they are not going to like that, because this is their home for whatever reasons, and, yeah, it could have serious effects to the hotel, because most people aren't going to want to stay there if it's like that.
Right, right.
Just the weird people like us, I guess.
I don't know. I think that the paranormal is so big right now, and haunted tourism is such a cash cow right now that I think they're going to get plenty of people staying there. And, you know, as long as they can ride the wave of this sort of paranormal fad, yeah. I think that they probably will. And I don't think they'll be hurting for guests. None of the other places are. We go to some, not haunted hotels, but there's some little restaurants in our area that are haunted. And those places are just always jam-packed with people. And you know that it's not necessarily because the food is great or anything else. People are there because they want to see if they can encounter a ghost.
Yeah, right. This fad right now really is the bane of the, in my opinion, is the bane of the existence of the paranormal investigator and researcher.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is what it is. So. Right. So, hey, let's listen to those EVPs while we got them. Thank you so much, Andy. You saved the day, we hope.
Great.
Cheryl.
Okay, let me play the first one. And these are fairly short, so I can replay them, like I said. So here we go. Did you hear it?
Was that rah-rah-rah-rah voice? Was that what we're listening at, too? That kind of almost sounded mechanical?
Yeah, I believe so. Tracy, if you want to tell us where you captured this at Waverly, and then we can listen to it one more time, and then you can tell everybody what you think it might be saying. That would be good.
Okay, this is where we were in the upstairs room, the day room on the fourth floor. And we turn on the ghost box, and I think it says, get away, or get away from here. And I even asked Scott after, I said, did that just say get away or get out of here? And he replies with, he didn't hear it, but I pulled it out, and it sounds that way. But
so this is a ghost box capture?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And for people who are listening who aren't down with the whole ghost box thing, can you really quickly give an explanation of that?
Oh, hey,
ghost box. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but actually, this is a different one. This is the one labeled with the double.
Okay.
This is the one about the batteries.
The battery.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
If it's one about the batteries, it's mocking me, saying you better check if they're double A. And the first part of it I can't make out, but it says, see if they're double A or something like that.
Okay,
well, there was only two of us in the room when we hear that. I hear it on my recorder afterwards.
Okay, let's listen again.
I can kind of hear something like something batteries.
I hear
that's kind of what I hear, too. Part,
yeah. And it's a froggy voice, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one more time.
I'll play it one more time.
Yeah, I can kind of hear that. There was no chili consumed for dinner before you did the...
No chili.
How would you guys classify that? Would you classify that as an A, B, or C?
That one, to me, would be borderline between a B and a C, you know, more towards C than anything.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree, definitely. And there was nothing mechanical or anything that could have made that noise then?
No, not at that time.
Okay. All right, let's listen to it one more time, and then we'll move on to the ghost box one, and you can explain the ghost box.
Okay, here we go.
Hmm.
the chat one. Room hears it say, are they double A's?
Yeah, that's okay. What one is.
See, now if I had been in there, I would have worried that they weren't talking about battery, but something else. Yeah. That, you know, bra size or something. I would be being mocked by ghosts.
You know, Karen and Cheryl and Chad, they already know this. I mean, if you have to put subtitles to an EVP, it's not an EVP.
Right.
I mean, you want to be able... If you're going to offer the best possible evidence to prove the existence of life after death, man, it better be good and it better be clear. Exactly.
But if it's just for your own entertainment purposes and it makes you... And you just want to know that what you experienced was actually not, you know... fake or not way out there, then hearing a little something that's not as clear as I think for your own personal is okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. But if you're going to put it out there for the rest of the world, it's got to be clear, you know?
Yeah, that's not what we're doing here. We're just all sitting around having a conversation.
Okay.
We're just playing. So let's talk about the ghost box and explain the ghost box and the principle behind it really quickly, and then we'll listen to the ghost box capture.
Okay, the ghost box is a smaller scale down version of Frank's box that is used widely by another paranormal person. We won't mention any names, but it's supposed to be the telephone to the dead.
Right.
Okay. Oh, I know who that is. No, just
yeah. it's a smaller version of the Frank's box, which is telephone to the dead, and it seeks. You have like a radio, and it's on seek all the time, and it doesn't stop. But the theory is that the dead can communicate through that by answering your questions, by saying words to questions, or to respond to things that you ask. And the theory is that Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein were both working on this, and I think Alexander Graham Bell's the one that they said created the first one. So
I've had some really interesting results with the ghost box. It's always hard for me to know whether what I'm hearing is actually what I think I'm hearing or whether it's what I expect to hear. But I have a little one that is made from a little Jensen armband radio.
Yes.
And it's great because I made it for less than $20, complete with speakers and everything. And it's been an interesting little thing to use. So let's pull up that ghost box capture, Cheryl, if you got it, please.
Okay, yep, here we go. That was it?
Oh, I got nothing.
Yeah, go I got nothing.
Here, let me replay it again, and then... I can make it out, but only when my volume's at full blast.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of time to work on these, and I didn't want to... Sure, I want to send something in for the show. But.
Yeah.
So what are we listening for?
To me, he says, Scott asked the question, is there something you'd like to tell us? And to me, it says, get away or go away from here or get away from here. And I even commented, I asked him a question, is that what it, did you just hear that? And he didn't hear it. I was the only one that heard it. And then I had it on my recorder, so...
Okay, let's listen again. So here's my question about the ghost box.
Okay.
And because my experience with it is that sometimes I will hear things made out of the voices of the people on the different stations as they blend together. Sometimes I'll hear it on that. But a lot of times what I hear on a ghost box is like a quiet voice underneath all that static.
Yes, you know? Or a heavier one over top of them. I'll hear that sometimes too.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Huh. Well, let's listen to it one more time. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm having trouble hearing that, but I think that's probably just me. I don't have my headphones turned up real loud right now. Somebody said these aren't the droids that you're looking for. That's what they hear in that.
I am fluent in over 6 million forms of communication.
it was the ghosts that were trying to Jedi mind trick you.
Hey, I got a question. Am I allowed to say on air what I wrote in our Skype thing down here, from what I hear.
I have to look. Hang on.
Are you?
Does it have? Do we have to bleep it? Oh.
Can I say that?
Are you being serious, Rick?
I am being totally, completely serious. This is exactly what I hear.
Well, then I
actually sort of think that that's what I heard too.
Then I would say go for it.
So am I allowed to say it?
Yes.
Yes, go for it.
Okay, everybody out there listening to us right now, this is no joke. I'm going to tell you exactly what I hear. I swear to God, it sounds like, do you have the dildo? Oh my God. That's what it sounds like to me. Play it again, please.
Okay, everybody listen for the dildo.
Okay. Okay, now I can't function. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yep.
I don't hear it, Rick. Like I don't hear it. I don't.
Maybe it's that nurse who, off
it's
herself.
A new piece of ghost hunting equipment. You bring your dildo.
I'm sorry, guys, but that's exactly what I hear.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, I'm all about experimenting with new ideas, but I got to draw the line.
Yeah, me too.
We here at Paranormal Underground would like to apologize for that. Go on.
Oh, you know what? Oh, my God, and I just realized something. I may have family from overseas listening to this, so I am in so much trouble.
Way to go, Rick. Okay, so...
Now they know you have a dildo fetish.
Let's move on past the dildo if we can. That's what she said.
All right, sorry guys, please, let's proceed.
Oh, well, you so flustered Cheryl, she almost couldn't play it. So, what's the matter, Cheryl? Don't you have the dildo?
You know what? We have more EVPs to play, Karen.
Okay, so actually, let's talk to Andy real quickly, and I'm going to pull up Andy's photo and paste it in the chat room.
Hey, it's, Karen, before we move on, I have... two more from Tracy that we might want to play first real quick.
Oh, we have two more from Tracy?
We do.
Let's do Tracy's two then. Sorry about that, Tracy.
One is actually a disembodied voice, I think, and that's what I'll play here next, and then Tracy can tell us about it. Here we go.
Boy, there's a lot of ambient noise in that room. What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, the background noise? That's just the outside noise from Waverly.
Wow. Let's play it again and see if I can... So where about in the recording am I going to
hear? There is a moan that listening to it through the show here, I don't really hear it, but it was there when I took it out of the recording. But it comes about 2 seconds before Scott says, "Did you hear that?"
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear that. I don't know what it is. It sounds like
that may very well
or something.
Be the same one that I got on morgue level by the stairwell, because Scott, when you say did you hear that, I think I've got the bit of conversation after mine, so when we get to that here in a little bit, just listen to it and tell me what you think.
Well, let's go ahead and play Andy's right now so that we can hear the two side by side and see. I thought you guys were on totally different floors. Yes,
we were.
Well, the thing is, the morgue is right by the stairwell, and the recorder I have is very sensitive, so it's possible it could have traveled down the stairwell. Stranger things have happened. But,
well, Andy, we were on the west side of the building, all the way at the end, on the fourth floor.
Okay, yeah, I doubt that would have transferred then, so...
Well, let's listen to Andy's Did You Hear That? It might be completely different.
Okay, I was just going to say, I don't have one from you, Andy, that sounds similar. What's the file name?
It's going to be the Oh Hell...
Oh, okay.
So I think it says go to hell or oh hell. Okay. I can't tell what it says, but...
Here, I'll play that right now.
Let's do that one more time. It's right at the beginning, and then somebody says, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I definitely heard that.
That's pretty clear to me, but I have my volume all the way up.
Yeah.
Do you want me to play it one more time?
Mm-hmm.
So that was it.
Oh, totally.
Hmm. Go to hell, maybe.
So Scott, was that you guys hearing something at the same time?
What's that?
No, I wasn't near Andy whenever he got that one, no. Or Chad, whoever got that one.
I think that's Andy's.
Was it Andy's?
Mm-hmm. That's Andy's.
Okay. No, well, I was not.
Let's be honest. How many times on a ghost hunt or a paranormal investigation do people say, did you hear that?
All the time.
True enough, yeah.
Yeah. So it's you know, it's Are not you... even that coincidental that you have two EVPs where somebody says, did you hear that?
Are you kidding me? I'm working on a drinking game just from Taps Ghost Hunters thing alone.
if they say, did you hear that? You take a sip, and if they say, dude, run, you have to guzzle it.
Oh, no. No, usually it's, you know, gratuitous ass shots, a sip of beer, and a what the hell is that, a shot and a beer. So that's what I'm working on right now.
Ah, perfect. Okay, well, we'll present that later. Maybe we can make it into a board game like Pass Out, and we can market it. Hey, Ghost Hunters Pass Out. Okay, so we have one more EVP from Tracy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go for it.
I'll play it again.
Is it that screaming thing?
No, it's before that.
What are we listening for?
Tracy, do you want to tell everybody where this one was captured and maybe what you think it says?
Is this the one in the hallway where it says hi and then she sighs?
Yes, that is the one.
Yeah, it's just sounds like a lady and she says hi. And then she sighs right after, like she's in pain or something, or that took all her energy.
Okay, let's listen again.
I think it says something different than hi, and it just seems so clear to me, but, you know, who knows. I think she's saying hide.
Okay, thanks.
I can hear that, yes.
Hmm,
yeah,
interesting.
I definitely hear a high. I hear that.
I hear that. I do. It's I would put it through a little filtering and see if you know you can get out some of the background noise, because I'm guessing if you filter it, you'll be able to make it out more clearly what she's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I think we need to take another break, and then when we come back, let's talk to Andy and talk about his picture and some of his experiments and things like that. Sound good, guys?
Sounds good.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, we'll be back.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
This is Karen Frazier, founder of the Namaste Project. Several months ago, I was really struggling with a number of people in my life. I got tired of being angry all of the time. One day I was driving home thinking about how I could stop being angry when the words, the Namaste Project, popped into my head. In that moment, I understood that every person, even the ones who made me angry, had a light of the divine in them, and if I could just find that light in every person I encountered, then my world would be a better place. The Namaste Project was born. Now I'm inviting you to join me. Visit namasteproject.org to learn how you can change your world. Change happens one person at a time. I hope you'll join me. That's namasteproject.org.
There's something in your mind you cannot hide. You can try everything, you'll be high in the end. There's something on your cheek, it's flowing like a creek. Are there tears, or just dying memories? Keep doing what you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. Keep seeing what you say, but remember that everywhere, you'll be the stolen thief. My friend, maybe you think the people would fall into your traps, but look better around you, there's nothing but your life. You're lost in your mind without no compass. You can try to pinch yourself and wake up fast. Keep doing what you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. Keep seeing what you say, but remember that everywhere, the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend. Keep doing what you do, but remember that anyway, you are the stolen thief. Keep saying what you say, but remember that anyway, you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend.
Station identification.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
Operating frequency
on ztalkradio.com.
All right, and we're back. The song that you just heard was The Postman by Stolen Thief. I was kind of digging on that one a little bit.
I liked that. The music that we use is all stuff that's under what's called a Creative Commons license. And mm-hmm. if you're ever working on projects where you need music for something that isn't protected by, like, ASCAP and all of that stuff.
Is it going to get your ass sued off?
Yeah, right. Then you can search Creative Commons, and you can find all sorts of really great music out there. And these are composers and musicians who are willing to let people use their music.
Mm-hmm.
through this Creative Commons license. So it's terrific. So we were just getting ready to talk about Andy's picture, and I pasted the link in the chat room, and I'll do it again. And Andy, I think, pasted a link as well. So anyway, so if you want to go take a look at the picture real quickly, Andy, let's talk about that picture.
Actually, that picture was taken by Laura Smith, one of the members of the group that was there. She's one of our photographers, and I tell you what, she always catches the greatest stuff. I when it comes to camera shots and stuff like that, you know, I'm the worst, but she always ends up getting the good stuff. So, and, you know, I got to say, the more I look at it, the more I am impressed with it. And I definitely, the next time I get down there, I want to try to recreate that if possible.
Yeah, if you click on the picture in the link, you'll get a bigger version of it. in the link that I posted in the chat room. I have it up right now. It actually, the smaller version to me looks more like the nurse's uniform than the bigger version. The bigger version just kind of looks, it's too pixelated.
So I'll be honest with you. I don't really have an eye for that sort of thing, but when I saw that picture, I really couldn't see anything else. And, you know, I'm fully aware of the concepts of apophenia and matrixing and stuff like that, but I got to be honest with you, my subconscious is not that creative.
Well, but to me, if I look at it, it could actually just be a wall. Are the walls kind of modeled and painted in the rooms? You know, a little bit of white, a little bit of little bit of concrete showing through, that type of thing. Is that what the interior walls look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's one thing I definitely want to look at when we get back there. So.
Yeah. Because to me, it looks like it could just be the wall, especially when you look at the bigger one, because I think as I look at the bigger one, there might even be a door in the wall or something, because there's a vertical line that goes straight up. That looks like it's part of a wall. So, but it's definitely an interesting photograph.
Yeah, I have trouble seeing it on my monitor at home, but my monitor at work, I can see it perfectly. So, I'll have to give that another look-see when I get to work.
Yeah, I have like one of the big, huge Mac monitors, like the big, the iMac, the biggest one that they make. So, and, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I'd be interested to see if people in chat are looking at it and what they think about it as well. So, Andy, let's talk about your experiences while you were at Waverly. Was this your first trip to Waverly?
This was my first trip. And before I get started here, I want to thank everybody at PUG for letting us come along. It was a trip of a lifetime, and we all enjoyed ourselves and very grateful for the opportunity there.
Yeah, well, it's so great. I'm so bummed that I wasn't able to be there.
Well, you know, you guys were talking about the possible restoration into a hotel. Speaking with some of the staff there, they had mentioned that they're going to try to leave as much of it original as they can, or at least a good portion of it. So,
the possibility of getting to stay in the back room is a very real one then.
Maybe for somebody else, not me.
No, me either.
Yeah, definitely me. I love bats.
Yeah. So, do you want to do the EVPs first, Cheryl, and then Andy can tell us about some of his experiments and things?
Sure. Yeah. We played one from Andy already, and the second one that we have, I can play, and then we can discuss. There's some talk about it being someone in the group. So we can talk about that. Okay, here we go. So I think it was there at the end. Mm. Is that right, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what I hear is a drawn-out male's voice saying, lady.
I hear Chad. I think it's Chad.
I don't think it's Chad at all. Doesn't sound anything like him to me. Chad,
let's listen again.
Okay. I think Chad's listening in chat right now, so he can come back on in a second. Yeah, and I remember what we were doing at the time, and he didn't say anything like that. So we were
Sound like Chad to me.
No, we were actually Chad. Way down the hall. We had actually gone into the morgue, and Andy's wife was in the drawer doing her session, you know, her alone time there.
Andy, you keep your wife in the drawer now, really?
Well, you know how it is.
Yeah, she's gonna they were
to this
brave.
Podcast and kill me.
Well, so we came upon her. We were the only ones on the floor, I believe, and we didn't know anybody was in there because we were down on the other side. So we walked in on her and said, oh, you know. And so we apologized and went on our way. And I think, Andy, you got this when we were down the hall quite a ways, right, as far as I remember. So
is Chad a Jerry Lewis fan?
Probably.
Does he quote Jerry Lewis to you often? Hey, lady.
No, he doesn't, actually.
Oh, Jerry Lewis, he is so funny. Uh-huh.
Chad, we need you. Come on. Okay. We need you.
Okay, let's listen to it again.
All right, one second.
Yeah.
So, Chad, is that you?
It doesn't sound like me.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
never...
hard. Again, it'd be one that would benefit, I think, from some filtering out of that ambient noise so that you can zero in on what's being said.
Just reduction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I try not to do too much filtering.
Yeah.
I like for my stuff to stand on its own two legs. But the thing that I'm really excited about this and the Oh Hell EVP is that there are two of five captured there at Waverly, and I just selected the best ones for what I consider to be the loudest ones for the show.
Right.
But they were on the new Sony PCM M10 recorder. And the thing that is really interesting about that is I've recorded 12 to 14 hours in various cemeteries and other haunted locations before Waverly, and not so much as a whisper. And I was really starting to have my doubts if it was even going to be suitable for EVP recording.
Yeah.
So I'm just, to me, it's proof of concept, even if they weren't Class A, and I'm very excited about that.
So is the recorder very similar to the Zoom H4 then, Andy?
Basically, they're both linear PCM encoded recorders, and they both have large frequency response and high sample rates.
Okay.
So, and
And I've gotten, I think, two EVPs ever on the H4. I don't use it a lot just because it's big and bulky to carry around. But I've only gotten two EVPs ever on the H4. But boy, those two EVPs are. You know, they're exciting because you're right. It's hard to mistake it for something else, where with some of the less expensive recorders, you can mistake a lot of things for an EVP.
Exactly. And that's really what kind of woke me up to these high-def recorders is having one side-by-side with another recorder. And what sounds like Satan on the party line on your lesser recorder is something completely benign when you listen to it on a high-def recorder. So it really made a believer out of me, and so I've tried to upgrade all of my gear to higher fidelity stuff. So,
yeah. So let's talk about some of the experiments, because all I have heard is that Andy was doing experiments, but nobody will tell me what those experiments were. So I'm picturing you like in a lab coat with beakers with green bubbly stuff in it, you know.
Well, we did a lot of different things. Unfortunately, we didn't have the time to do what we wanted to, and equipment failures ate up a huge chunk of time.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith Engel, the gentleman in Tulsa who's come up with a line of prototype full-spectrum video cameras, loaned me his latest invention, the SpectraCam 3. And it is a highly UV-sensitive camera all the way down to 250 nanometers. So I was really excited to get to use that. Unfortunately, we didn't capture any anomalies on that. But we had that going into the DVR and several other full-spectrum cameras up on the third floor in the atrium area. And we had the balls on the ground hoping for movement. Unfortunately, we didn't get any at that time. But one thing that was really interesting about the whole experience is that, you know, everybody that knows me knows I'm a gadget geek.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the equipment that I could always rely on to be rock solid and trustworthy was failing all over the place. And the equipment that I've used that is sometimes, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, inconsistent, perform like a champ. So it's really kind of a weird environment.
So Andy, you obviously aren't reading the things that we're talking about in Skype, because you wouldn't be getting through this conversation if you were.
I just saw it now.
my comment was that maybe if Andy didn't keep his wife in a drawer, his equipment wouldn't keep failing.
That is not what you wrote.
Well, I did. He wouldn't have equipment failures. I wrote it twice. I said once was his equipment wouldn't fail, and the other time was that his balls would move.
Yeah, 8 hours and no ball movement whatsoever. But anyway.
Well, maybe that's why the dildo comment came up on somebody's recorder, was that 8 hours without ball movement.
Perhaps. I don't know.
Telepathic projection. Very nice.
And we're back here again. I am so sorry. That was entirely my fault. In a room full of guys, it was me. Anyway, moving along, Andy. I'll stop making that's what she said jokes at your expense. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm not going to pay attention, because if I do, I'll just start busting up laughing. So anyway, moving right along. The thing that was interesting for me about the whole experience was that, you know, we've all heard of Waverly. We've all heard of the Shadow People. We've all heard of the different phenomena and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I expected that a bunch of that was just sensationalism. But the thing that struck me as strange was how bold the phenomena really was from a personal experience level.
Really? It's not subtle.
No, not at all. And if you look at it from the perspective of the possible ghosts that are there, I mean, they're having these tours and all-night investigations going on all the time. You know, you'd think they'd be used to it, but
yeah.
You know, they did not fail to produce. So I was very impressed.
Do you think they ever get sick and tired of with questions like, can you make your presence known? Are you a man? Are you a woman? You know, if I was an intelligent spirit, I would definitely get sick and tired of that after a while.
Oh, I'd whack somebody in the head. I would, yeah.
I mean, is it any wonder that they do become negative at times?
I could certainly see that. I mean, another thing is the tendency of a lot of ghost hunters to treat every energy that's there as like a 3-year-old kid or something like that. If I was there, I know that would kind of upset me a little bit. But
well, I want to go back to the statement you made because I find it really interesting that you said the boldness of the interaction. Because my experience of ghosts, and I do believe that I've had a lot of experience with ghosts, is that for the most part, it's not in your face. It's very, very subtle. Would you agree with that?
Very much so. I would equate it to fishing, but you have better luck fishing. I mean, we go through hours of audio and video and stuff like that for the very subtle light anomaly or whisper.
Mm-hmm. And even the personal experience, even the personal experience stuff is very subtle. It's little things. It's not like something walks up and smacks you in the face. It's hard to explain if you haven't had the experience. But so for you to say that it's very bold, then to me, that strikes me as really interesting that even the personal experience stuff, that it's just right there and that strong.
Well, one thing for me is I rely on my toys because I have virtually zero intuitive or psychic ability whatsoever. So that's the only way I get to experience things. And I could be in a group of five people and everybody will be seeing a ghost and I won't have that experience. But Waverly was different for me. And I was so excited. I was like a kid on Christmas just because I was actually getting to see and experience these phenomena. It was such a treat.
That's awesome. That is terrific. So Cheryl had a question, I think.
Cheryl. I did. I had a couple of questions for Andy. Andy, you had mentioned, I think, that night we were there that you had heard something while you were doing your time in the morgue drawer. You heard a voice, I think you said. Did you capture that at all on audio?
I was praying that I would, but of course, Murphy's Law, I did not.
Okay.
But it was so amazing. We had just started the experiment where different members were rotating out in the morgue cooler, and Eric had just slid me into the drawer and walked away, gave me my radio, and walked away. And then the whole chassis of the cabinet felt like it was swaying, like I was in a truck or something moving down the road. And it got pretty quiet. As a matter of fact, I got pretty comfortable and was, fighting the urge to go to sleep. And then something whispered in my ear. I mean, I could feel the breath in my ear, and it just simply said, "Hey,"
Yeah. Wow.
And just one word, just "Hey." And that was very exciting. And in addition to that, I was seeing like these green laser light anomalies inside where there's a hole in the top of the cabinet where you can see flashlights if somebody walks by. But it's pretty dark inside the cabinet itself. And I was seeing these like green sparkly things. So it was very interesting. I had a lot of fun.
Did you guys get a chance to get down to the body chute?
Yes, we did. And
awesome.
Eric, brave soul that he is, trudged all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
I got about maybe, an eighth of the way down and decided this is too much steps for a fat boy. So I sat down and I filmed him. And but it was a very sobering experience of itself. I mean, the way it echoes in there, it's pitch black dark and, feel very isolated.
Again, you'd probably chalk a lot of that up to the, the fear and the expectation. So.
Absolutely. And everybody's got their stories of Waverly, but you really have to experience it. And I think a person would be hard-pressed to go there and not have an experience. And
right.
For me to say that, that's actually saying something because I believe we manifest a lot of our own experiences. So,
I do too. I agree with you. So not a lot of hype going on at Waverly is what you're saying. It's backs it up.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I expected subtle energies, and if I had even got one EVP, I would have just been thrilled to death. And we were graced with a lot of good data. So
real quickly, just since we're talking about a really famous haunted place, if the rest of you want to turn your mics on for a sec, I've got a question for you that only sort of has to do with this conversation. I should probably save it for the lightning round, but not gonna. So what haunted places out there, the really famous ones like the Stanley Hotel or something, are there any that you guys think are pretty much all hat and no cattle? Andy?
I would have to say, just based on what I've heard, I've never been to this place, and then we'll try to hit it next year, and you mentioned it was the Stanley. I think a lot of that phenomena is basically explained quite well in Bill Murphy's documentary, The Stanley Effect. And I'm not so sure we're dealing with intelligent or discarnate entities so much as we're dealing with a rare mix of geological and electromagnetic occurrences there. So I think a lot of the stuff there will emulate what's commonly reported to be hauntings or haunting phenomena, but I don't think it's actually going to be an intelligence.
Right. Yeah. What do you think, Tracy? Do you have one that you think is more hype than real?
Not right offhand, but you know, I question all of them. You know, I go in with a skeptic's point of view instead of I'm going in and I'm going to get paranormal activity. I go in and try to find that what's, you know, naturally occurring that causes this phenomenon for people. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know a lot of people in, you know, Chad and Cheryl are out in California. The Winchester House, to me, you know, I think there's just more hype around that, and the way she was so eccentric and the way she kept building, I don't think it's haunted. I think it's just played up to be haunted to keep the attention coming to it.
Yeah. So what do you think, Scott?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
You knew I was.
The only one that I can think of that I've seen recently in several books is listed, because I'm here in Tennessee, as one of the most haunted places in Tennessee is Graceland. And I'm like, Graceland? Why would Graceland be haunted? Because Elvis is still alive. We all know that. So, you know, and I think that is just a promotion that they put on just to kind of bring more people into Graceland and all that good stuff. So that's one that I think is completely just about 100% hype.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Rick? Do you have one that you think is just hype?
Yeah. Up here in, you know, Chicago, we have the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, you know, where the SMC cartage was when, you know, Capone's guys whacked all those dudes in the garage. I think that's all hype. There's nothing there. I mean, I've actually seen dogs walk past the place. They say that dogs will walk past the place and freak out because they hear, you know, the owner of the place, his dog's name was Highball. They hear him, you know, his spectral barking, or they see ghosts. I've seen dogs walk past the place before and not do anything. I've never heard any voices, never heard any Tommy gun, rat-tat-tat-tat. That place is just all hype.
Okay, all right. Chad, I'm going to come back to you because I think it leads really well into what you wanted to talk about. So we'll skip you for a second. And Cheryl, how about you? What do you think about a place that you think might just be pure hype?
Well, I don't investigate enough, or haven't anyway, up till now to really give a good answer. I was a little bit disappointed with the Whaley House in San Diego.
Yeah,
that's what I said. But, you know, we were only there for 2 hours, so... You know, I expect a lot. I always go in expecting a lot, and when I don't get anything, I get really disappointed. So I'd like to go back there.
I think that expectations is a good point, though, because I think that the ghost shows, like Ghost Adventures, I couldn't come up with the name. All I could picture was Zach in his tight t-shirt. I think that the ghost shows like Ghost Adventures or that horrible, horrible one that was Extreme Paranormal, I think it was called.
That's gone.
I don't know if it's gone for good, but I think that those have people thinking that every time you go into a haunted place, you're going to be dragged straight to hell, and then it's all just this very, very dramatic, huge, big, and it's not, and so I think it sets people up for disappointment, so. Yeah.
Give me an effing break.
So Chad, that leads, go ahead and tell me which one you think, well, maybe, and then that leads to what you were, wanted to talk about with the creeper, I think it was.
I want to make a point first that ghosts don't perform on demand. And just because something might not happen, it might not happen for years, and then one person's in there and it's just the right time, the right circumstances, you'll have something happen. So it's not like, you know, you may go to, like we went to the White House, and you kind of expect, well, maybe something will happen. Well, it doesn't happen. Well, it doesn't mean it's not haunted. It just means nothing happened while you were there.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. And we definitely noticed that with Wellington. There's times when Wellington is really active, and there are times you go up and not a darn thing happens. But we still have a good time, you know.
And then as far as Waverly is concerned, I do believe it's haunted. But I do believe that the staff and the people that own Waverly hype it up so much so they can keep interest going so they can make money off the people who go ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Though I do believe it's haunted. I just don't believe – it's like basically the tour guide was giving us the pre-tour, and we were up on the third floor right there at the elevator where the homeless man and his dog had been murdered. And – she walked up there, and the tour guide goes, "Oh my God!" And then there's like a jacket hanging there, and you know, to me, that's somebody left that. Somebody left that there, and I don't know if she is. Maybe it caught her by surprise, but I think the stories they tell. Sometimes I think, I don't know for sure, but sometimes I think it's just a hype. You know, maybe they heard something from somebody else, almost like an urban legend.
Right.
And they're trying to keep interest in the site so they can keep people coming back, you know, and making money off that. Because that's how they make the money to restore the place. But I do believe it's haunted.
Yeah, that's just it. Just because they overhype something doesn't necessarily mean it's not haunted.
Right.
I was just going to say that.
So if they overhype it, does that lessen the experience? Does it make it not worthy to go to? I mean, I'm just wondering, I mean,
A personal experience is a personal experience. I mean, even when you catch something on tape, it's still subject to, well, you know, that could have been somebody saying something. Like, I was listening to part of the audio that we had, and you could hear people either on the ground or on the floor below walking around and talking. So you can catch stuff.
Yeah, see, you know what it does, unfortunately, when things like that happen? Is that it gives not the skeptics, because a skeptic in my mind is me and you. It's somebody who's open-minded and willing to look at all possibilities. But it gives the debunkers and the, what's the word I want? Not disbelievers, like the Randy Foundation. Well,
not-so-amazing Randy.
Well, there's a difference between a skeptic and a debunker. A debunker is just somebody who's out there to be basically be a butthole.
Yeah.
They are. Most debunkers I know are just basically assholes.
Yes.
There are skeptics out there. The skeptics there to ask questions, to question that which has been brought forward. That's what a skeptic does. Mm-hmm. They don't believe, they don't disbelieve. They're there to look at all possibilities, like you said.
They don't come into it with their own biases. They let the evidence or lack thereof.
Well, that's hard to do, though. I mean, it's hard to be unbiased because, you know, you basically come into a situation with what you've been through in your life, and that's what you apply to any given situation that you're presented with. It's hard to put that air of neutrality in there so you can look at something with, you know, just for what it is.
You're right. It is hard. That's because we have filters in place, just like you say. And every experience, you and I could be standing side by side and have the exact same experience and walk away with two totally different interpretations of it, because we do interpret it whether we want to or not.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, but, you know, unfortunately, when they embellish things in order to keep people coming back, then that gives these out, as Chad calls them, assholes, although I don't think they are. I just think that they're people with a different opinion. But it gives them fodder so that they can then say it's all crap. And this is what I have a problem with, is when people throw the baby out with the bathwater and they say, just because one thing might be embellished, that means that ghosts don't exist. Well, that's just absolute BS, in my opinion.
Right.
Right. And hype is much different than embellishment, in my opinion.
Well, plus, you know, the thing with personal experiences. They're your personal experiences, and nobody can tell you that you didn't experience that. You experienced it, and even if it can be explained eventually as being this or that or the other, it's still your personal experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, we have one more EVP.
We do. Mm. We have one from Scott. And I think it's
Good one. We haven't played Scott's EVP yet. Sorry.
Well, I thought you'd forgotten about me.
So why don't I play it now, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
Ah, no. Don't do it.
No!
No!
Don't do it.
No!
Thank you, Time Warner.
Okay, is this file? Did I load up the right file? Okay, talk amongst yourself. I'm going to try and load it up one more time.
So it's a good EVP, I understand. It's just maybe not in the right media format. Is that the problem?
Was it?
Well, I'm wondering. Yeah, it's Andy had made them MP3s and sent them back over. I'm just making sure he loaded up the right one.
Okay.
Let's see here.
So, Scott, why don't you at least talk about the circumstances under which you captured it while we're... And, you know, you can reenact it if we can't get it going.
Okay, I'll try my best. We had actually just left the infamous room 502, which I think is all hype. I'm pretty sure from my knowledge of the history of Waverly, that was just a nurse supposedly hung herself in there, and there's never been any proof found in there, and I didn't get anything in there. But we had just left room 502, and we're going down the hallway, and... I don't remember hearing anything, and Tracy doesn't remember hearing anything, but it's as clear as it can be, and hopefully whenever it plays, you'll be able to hear it. I haven't doctored it, nothing. It's very loud. The woman, she wanted to be known at that moment, and, and it just amazing. I don't want to say what it is. I want to run the suspense just in case we can't get it to play, but it was really cool.
Okay, well, Cheryl's trying to get that together. So let's see. Well, Cheryl's trying to... Hey, you guys want to do the lightning round while we're waiting for Cheryl to find that EVP, and maybe we can end with an EVP?
Cool. Definitely.
Some of you are lightning round virgins. So let me explain really quickly what we do. What we do is we just ask a couple of questions. I go down the line and have you give me a one or two sentence answer. If you want to answer a little more, you can. And it's just about different topics. So are you guys ready?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. So our first question is, Discover Magazine this month had an article called 30 Surprising Ways the End Could Come. And in the article, they discuss all sorts of ways in which we are going to be snuffed out as a species. Isn't that just a happy article? And the list has things like dark matter becoming darker than it should be, and the sun snuffing itself out. So how do you think the world is going to end, Tracy?
I don't think the world's going to end. I'm very, how do I say it in a nice way? I think all religions have a different view of how it's going to end. And me personally, I just think that for some reason it's going to go on until some catastrophic event destroys it.
Okay. Andy, what do you think?
I agree. We'll carry on in some form or fashion until the sun becomes a red giant and swallows us up.
Okay. Scott?
I pretty much agree with them. I'm not one of these that takes on, the end of the Mayan calendar. Oh, my. We had to end it somewhere. Right. I just can't get maybe forever. I just, I'm with them. It's going to keep going. There may be some events that, downsize populations and stuff like that, but, we can't predict it, and, I think we're going to be here for a while.
Okay, Rick, what do you think?
I agree with Scott. I think that, I think we're pretty safe about the sun snuffing out. What was that, like 50 billion years from now? So I think we're okay with that, but I got a feeling that the Republican Party will kill us yet.
Chad.
Well, I think even if this Earth was destroyed, that we would continue on, whether it would be in another dimension or even on another planet or just in wherever the Earth had been, like a haunted point in space.
Okay. All right, Cheryl, can you answer, or are you busy loading stuff?
I can. I don't know. I'm sorry, I really didn't give it a lot of thought. I don't know. I don't have a theory.
Did you guys see that we actually had a near miss the other day, that something came, an asteroid or whatever the big things are that are supposed to hit Earth and, you know, really shake us up? That there was one, I think.
It was two. Like,
there were two. Yeah. But just the other day, we had a near miss.
Well, you would think of all the money they got that they would come up with some way to do something about that.
Like lasers or something to break them
they
up.
They probably already have something up there. They're just not telling us.
I know. It could be like a big lithotripsy like they do for kidney stones. They just aim it up at the rocks hurtling at Earth. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ready for the next one? Here we go. 300 goats have been decapitated in Mexico in the last few months. And the decapitated goats actually don't have very much blood. It's not like a real bloody crime scene, apparently. The locals are blaming... What do you guys all think the locals are blaming?
Chupacabra.
That's right. So the locals are blaming chupacabra, and I'm wondering what you think it could be. Tracy, what do you think?
I just think it's somebody out there with a sick sense of humor.
You probably. Andy, what do you think?
You know, the whole cattle mutilation, animal mutilation thing, I really don't have an opinion on that because, to be honest with you, it doesn't really mesh with my belief systems. I don't know what could do that and leave such a little amount of blood or small traces. So honestly, I don't know. I'm going to have to go with individuals.
Okay. Scott?
Well, unless the crew from Twilight have been over there, I don't know what would have done it.
No!
honestly, I mean, that's, you know, there could be some sort of new species of animals that we're not aware about that could be over there doing something like that, and then it could be man-made. I mean, it's one of those I honestly couldn't really give a good answer, besides Twilight. That's my answer.
Oh, Rick, I'm so sorry that you got your random Twilight reference. We've been getting away from those, but here it is again. So what do you think, Rick?
Chupacabra family reunion.
Ah, awesome. Okay, Chad, what do you think?
It's probably the government or something like that.
Government. Cheryl? Yeah.
I think it's definitely aliens.
Ah. What was it that they came up with on Fact or Fake that the cattle mutilations were?
Oh, God. It was basically the bloating was causing the skin to tear.
That's right.
I think you're full of shit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So next one. There's a telephone pole in Louisiana, and it has what appears to be the image of a crucifix, Jesus on the cross, that's made out of ivy. Not that anybody made the ivy, just grew in that way. So what do you think about religious apparitions like this and even secular ones like Elvis's face on a potato chip? Tracy, what do you think?
I think if you want to see something, you're going to see it. I mean, if you want to see that Elvis is on your potato chip or the Virgin Mary is on your toasted cheese sandwich, that's what you're going to see. You know, these things just happen naturally and randomly, and, you know, we make more out of it. Our mind's trained to see a familiar image in things. We matrix a lot.
Yeah. Andy, what do you think?
I have to agree, and I think just because the subject matter of it is popular, it's no more than just a random occurrence.
Okay. Scott?
I agree with Tracy and Andy. I think our eyes can play tricks. And it's just like when you're a kid and you lay, you know, on the ground and look up at the clouds to try to find shapes in the clouds. I mean, your eyes can play tricks on you and make anything you want to see. So I think people that are a little over-religious or a little zealous are seeing things and think they need to make that some sort of proof of their religion. I'll maybe get a little deep there, so I might want to shut up. But I think it's, you know, just all in the person's eyes and their head.
Sure. Rick?
Yeah, I definitely think that, too. You know, we never see anything with Buddha. We never see anything with Vishnu or anything like that. I think that if God was going to do something spectacular, he's not going to show himself in a cheeseburger.
Oh, you know, what's funny is that I did have Ganesh on my pizza the other day, so there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected then.
Yeah. Chad, what do you think?
Well, I mean, of course it's going to look like a cross because it's a telephone pole, and you're going to have the leaves hanging off of it, so it's going to look like somebody's hanging there. The Bible says you're not supposed to worship graven images anyway, so.
Right.
There you go. And Cheryl?
Yeah, the thing about this is that I did not go into looking at this photo and have a preconceived notion. I didn't even know what the photo was of. I just saw it up on Chad's computer, and I leaned over and looked, and I honestly thought it was...
Leaves on a pole.
No, I thought it was Jesus on a cross. And then Chad said, hey, look at this, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's not Jesus, that's leaves. So, you know, and I didn't... That's just what it looked like to me at first glance. So, anyway.
Yeah. I saw the picture before I read the caption, and I thought, wow, somebody did a Jesus topiary. I thought it was kind of interesting. Okay, next one. So, in this month's Scientific American, there's a study that they report about, and the study seems to indicate that the same part of the brain that's responsible for physical pain is also responsible for the emotional pain that's associated with social rejection. In the study, the participants were either given Tylenol or a placebo, and then they were made to play this game that was like a VR kind of game, my son plays, the MMPORGs or whatever they're called. So, and in the game, they were experiencing greater and greater and greater levels of social rejection. And the people on the Tylenol actually reported less feelings of social rejection than the people on the placebo. So here's my question. Do you think we'll ever be able to pop a Tylenol to get over emotional pain? And if so, what do you think is going to happen to the huge antidepressant market? Tracy?
Well, first, Pfizer and the rest of them won't allow that to happen, but... If you could just pop a pill and everything will be all right, then I just don't see that happening, to be honest with you. It's just there's too many people with different problems that they associate with pain. So I don't think Tylenol is going to cure it.
It'd be awesome if it would, though. Andy, what do you think?
I would like to see the history of these test subjects, you know, their emotional states over a long period of time. I know that once the brain gets used to accepting certain proteins associated with certain emotions, it gets to the point where it can reject good emotions. So I think that would be interesting. As far as popping a pill, I don't know. Perhaps it would act as a blocking agent and allow other proteins to manifest associated with other emotional responses. Hmm. So it's entirely possible.
Yeah. What do you think, Scott?
Well, I was hoping you'd forget about me on this one. I agree with Andy and Tracy. I don't think that that's really possible. I would have to hear and see more about that to even start to even think about that even more.
Okay, Rick.
I think we all need to get over ourselves a little bit. Emotional pain is something that makes us fundamentally human, and the idea of popping a pill takes away that humanity.
I agree with that. I have to tell you real quickly an experience that I had. I have migraines. I get them. I used to get them 16 days a month, and they were severe. They would last for 3 or 4 days at a time, and I was totally disabled. My doctor put me on Topamax to prevent it, and I became an automaton. And as soon as I went off of it, it was this miracle to be myself again and have the creativity. So I totally agree with what you said, Rick. So, Chad, what do you think about Tylenol
for emotional pain? I think they, instead of trying to create pills that help people forget it, they ought to give people coping skills to help them deal with their pain.
Oh, yeah. Good answer.
Great answer. Great
Yay!
Answer.
Yay! Round of applause for Chad. Okay. Cheryl, what do you think?
I have to follow that up. Okay. No, I don't think that we're going to be able to pop a Tylenol to get over emotional pain.
Well, they make a drug. It's called alcohol.
Oh, that's true. So, okay, the last question is actually one that was posed by one of the members on our forum. Do you believe that speaking the name of a demon out loud will cause the demon to manifest? Tracy?
No. I think that we're taught to believe that speaking the name of the demon out loud gives you power over that demon. Because once you know its name, you're supposed to be able to control it.
Okay. All right. Andy.
In areas like this, I never want to make a complete statement, but right now in my life, I don't necessarily believe in demons, so to speak. So you could say, in my opinion, you could say any name, and it really wouldn't cause any harm or difficulty.
Okay, Scott?
I kind of agree with Andy. I don't really have a I haven't really done a lot of thought with demons. One thing I haven't really grasped. So saying it or not saying doesn't have lean with me either way. But I would probably lean more towards not saying it, I think, just because I don't want to open up Pandora's box or anything.
Yeah, just in case, huh?
Rick, yeah, yeah. Think?
Yeah, Rick?
Beelzebub, Belphegor, Zimse. I seem to be okay right now, so...
Oh, you mock first. You mock the box, and now this. Oh, God.
I think I'm okay.
Okay. Chad.
I think if we give the demon or whatever the spirit or whatever power, then it has power. If we don't, then it doesn't.
Exactly.
I agree. And Cheryl, what do you think?
Yeah, Chad just said what I was going to say. It doesn't. manifest just because you say a name. If you want it to manifest, it probably will. If you don't, it won't.
Well, all I can say is that I looked into a mirror with a candle burning and said, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, and not a darn thing happened to me. So, you know, I tend to think it's kind of hooey. Okay, so do we have the EVP ready?
We do. Yay.
Sweet. You guys made it through the lightning round. Wasn't so bad, right?
No, it wasn't too bad at all.
He sounds really convincing. Okay, so let's listen to, it's Scott's, right? Scott's EVP.
Yes, this one's from Scott, and we'll play it, and then he can tell us about it. Here we go.
Hello.
Wow, cool.
Yep. Very good.
Very cool.
You want me to play it again?
Oh, yeah.
Class A.
So, Scott, why don't you tell us about it?
That's the one where I was coming out of the room 502, and I mean, you can see that's pretty loud. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I didn't hear her say that, but it sounds like a woman. She's a little bit of a southern drawl there, which kind of fits the area, everything. I wasn't expecting anything, and I had actually just been listening probably about 30 minutes into my DVR information, and that one popped up, and I mean, it was just so loud. I was like, wow, but is that what I just heard? And it was, and so she obviously wanted to be known, so there she is, whoever she is.
Yeah, let's listen to it one more time.
Yes, let me put that in there. Here we go. You know, it almost sounds like a younger person to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a little girl.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat room just said meow. Could it be a cat?
There was a picture that we got of a cat, but not on the fourth or the fifth floor, because we were on the fifth floor when that happened. The cat that we got a picture of was on the first floor, but that is possible. I guess it could be a cat. Yeah, I
hadn't thought of that one yet. Yeah, let's listen to it for cat likeness now.
Okay. No, I don't.
No,
I think it's
way.
Hello. Yeah, it's pretty clear to me.
I saw the cat too, so I know it was there.
I've got video of that cat in the morgue. So.
That was the first floor.
Well,
this was
the lady in the.
Was it in the drawer with your wife?
Actually, funny you should mention that, because when Chad and Cheryl were walking in, the cat took cover into the room, and then when they walked out, it started getting brave and looking all around the room, and even poked its head into the bottom drawer.
Wow.
And I was joking with my wife, what would happen if that cat would have jumped up there with you?
Oh, my God, can you imagine?
The tour guide swore up and down there was no way a cat could get in there because it couldn't climb the walls.
Yeah, I've got video. That's definitely a real cat.
There's a cat in there.
Hey, Scott, did you say this was in 502?
No. It was right outside of it, yes.
Okay, and that's on the fifth floor, right, where supposedly the nurse hung herself outside of 502?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Where we haven't had found any history backing that story up.
Yeah.
But yes, but that's where it's happened. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make the point that the cat was on floor one, and Scott and Tracy were on floor five.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
Oh, I was just going to say, the cat that we got the picture of was on floor one as well.
So let's listen to it one more time, because now I gotta listen for cat likeness. It sounds like hello to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. Okay, so you guys have any final thoughts that you would like to impart about Wellington as we go into our last couple of minutes here? Or Wellington, sorry, Waverly. I have to go talk about Wellington, at this conference this weekend, so I have it on my brain, clearly. So, any final thoughts, Tracy?
No, I just think that if you hadn't experienced Waverly, you're missing out on a great experience. And, you know, they can't ever guarantee paranormal activity, but there is something paranormal going on at Waverly.
Okay, cool. Andy, do you have any final thoughts or disclaimers about keeping your wife in a drawer?
Not yet, but once she hears this podcast, that may change, so...
Well, she'll realize it was mostly me, because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to go on to the Paranormal Underground website forum now, and I'm going to start an if Andy didn't keep his wife in a drawer ... thread, and we'll see what people what people can come up with. So, anyway, other than the wife in a drawer, anything you want to say about Waverly?
Definitely going to go back, trying to plan a return trip for the spring when it's a little bit cooler, and... we might even do a two-nighter. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, my taxes go.
Yeah, cool. Okay, Scott.
I just really enjoyed the place. It was a great place. If you like anything paranormal or want to, you know, see or learn more, I think it's a great place to go. My experience there was great. Thank you to all the people there. It was a great experience, and hearing, you know, everything that everybody else has found is made it even even more fun, and I can't wait to go to BAG.
Great. Chad?
Awesome.
Well, definitely we're going to have to plan a trip to go back at some point. And the one thing I would wish they would do, they would let us – there's actually graveyards on the property. I wish they would let us go over there and do EVP sessions in the graveyards. But,
Well, I tell you what, if the next trip I am totally going. Now that I actually have a job that pays,
yeah.
You know, I'm definitely there. Sign me up. So, Cheryl, you get to give the final Waverly thought.
Well, I didn't talk much this week about my time there because I talked a little bit about it the last week. But for those who didn't hear about my time there, I got really sick halfway in and couldn't continue. So I would like to go back definitely and make it through the 8 hours and just try again.
Great. Okay, you guys, I want to thank you so much. This has been
a lot
of fun. I've really enjoyed talking to you about it. And we will be back. We think we'll be back next week. And just keep an eye on our... We're going to be back the week after, but we may have to cancel next week, right, Cheryl?
Yeah, we're still trying to get next week together. We've got some issues we have to deal with here. So hopefully we'll still be here next week. If not, we'll post on our forum that, you know, we'll be back the week after, but hopefully we'll be here.
Okay. Thank you, you guys. And
yes,
everybody,
thanks for coming.
Have a great week.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the ZTalk Radio Network.